Evening.
I want to welcome all here tonight and want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak with you this evening. We're going to continue tonight. Over the past several weeks, Mark has shared with us from Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, and we've taken various lessons from the prodigal son. Tonight we're going to focus at the beginning of the chapter, namely, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 15 is full of parables about the lost. Jesus uses four illustrations dealing with the lost throughout this chapter. And more importantly, he shares God's desire to see the lost saved and restored. Verses 1 through 7, we see the parable of the lost sheep. The next few verses, we see the parable of the lost silver or the lost coin. And lastly, we see the parable of the prodigal son. We see both the lost son and the lost sibling. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, if you'll turn with me there, we read, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Now, some texts may read publicans, which once again are tax collectors. And what we see here are tax collectors were typically working with the Romans, sometimes Roman citizens, and were despised for the Jews because of the harsh taxes in the area. We also read there sinners. Sinners were Jews who failed to maintain or keep the Mosaical law. These individuals were looked down upon by the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that time. Now, Jesus took it upon himself to reach out to these very peoples, these tax collectors, these sinners amongst the Jews, because as we can read in Luke 19 and 10 and Mark 2:17, Jesus was sent into this world to save those. He was sent to seek the lost, the hurting, the sinners of this world, and to save each and every one of us. These religious leaders of that time shunned the very individuals needing to be sought out. Jesus uses these parables in Luke chapter 15 to help us see, to help us determine who to seek out and who God wishes to be saved. Tonight, as I stated, we're going to focus on Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. The parable of the lost sheep, if you'll turn with me, or if you'll continue to read along. Verse 3, "So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." What we have here in this parable is a shepherd who has counted his sheep and identifies that one amongst the 100 is gone. Motivated by the danger that the sheep may face and the loss the shepherd has to himself as he cares for all 100, he takes immediate action to restore his sheep to its place among the flock. Brothers and sisters, there's a picture of salvation in this story. It is my wish that tonight, as we dig into the text, that we reveal this picture of salvation. Verses 3 and 4, namely verse 4, we see the shepherd's compassion. Typically, when we talk in this parable, the focus is on the sheep, but tonight we're going to take a look at the shepherd. In verse 4, we read that the sheep is lost. the Greek word that is used here is the same word used in John 3:16 for perish. It means to be lost, ruined, or destroyed. What we see is that the sheep on its own wandered away. And we see two conditions of loss. The condition of humanity and the loss in the condition of heart. Isaiah 53:6 and 1 Peter 2:25 both speak to the loss of humanity. In those verses, we are likened to sheep who have gone astray. And in John 3:18, we see that Jesus was sent into the world not to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. We also know the lost condition of your heart. Jesus knows the lost condition of your heart as well. He knows that you are lost because of the sin of Adam, but He also knows that you are a sinner because you choose to be one. However, if we continue to choose to be sinners, we can read in Psalms 9:17 and also 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 of the condemnation that we face if we continue to choose to be sinners. And in Romans 6:23, we know that the wages of sin is death. Now, the sheep may have wandered away from the shepherd, but the shepherd still valued the sheep. Our good shepherd, our Lord Christ, our Savior, loves this lost sheep, or loves the lost sheep in the world. If you are lost today, I want you to know that God loves you, that God values you. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 31, in Jeremiah 31, we understand that God loves us and that His love is stated for us in Jeremiah 31. Also in John 3:16, that love is stated. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 states, "The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you." So we have our Lord's stated love for us. And then now, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, we see God's love shown to us. "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Christ showed that great love for His lost sheep. Lastly, the shepherd looks for the lone sheep. And though it be one lost sheep, He still went in search. Luke 15 and verse 7, we read that even though there may be one sinner, that one sinner's repentance is greater than the 99 who feel no need for repentance. Also in John 10 and 3 and Revelation 22, 17, we see that there is great rejoicing in heaven for those that seek God. In verse 5, as we read, "And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing." We see the shepherd's great commitment. We see a sacrificial commitment in our shepherd. Though the shepherd faced certain danger and even possible death, it did not deter him from his path to seek out the lost sheep. Turn with me now to 1 Peter. Verses 1 and 3. Actually, I stand corrected. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. First Peter shares with us the same thoughts here in Philippians 2 and verse 5 through 8, which reads, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross. Christ humbled himself, came to earth as man, lived, taught, and ultimately paid the ultimate sacrifice and laid his life down so that our sins may be forgiven. Our shepherd faced certain danger. He looked it in the eye, even unto his death, which leads us to a successful commitment. The shepherd was not deterred from finding his sheep. Turn with me to John chapter 19 and verse 30. In verse 30 we read, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was this proclamation, it is finished, that Christ let us know that his mission here was complete. That all he had come to do and teach and grow each and every one of us was complete with that statement, it was finished. A successful commitment to find those that were lost. And then he began the next part of the journey in his resurrection to ensure that our sins would be washed away. Some of us may see the world today and may have a feeling that potentially God's cause, God's will may be failing in this world. But what we must be assured of is that we do not live for the entrapments of this world, but we live to be with our Father in our eternal home after this world. This leads us to the shepherd's conquest, verses 5 through 6 of Luke chapter 15, which we read. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The shepherd's conquest included the rescue, which we just spoke of. The sheep has been found and rescued. Acts 2:38, upon understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life up for us, a message was preached to some 3,000 by Peter. And when they had heard the message and were pricked in the heart, they asked, what must we do? And Peter's response was, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. John 3:16 through 18 tells us that that purpose for his life was to come for our salvation, to die for the remission of our sins, and not that his death was to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, we see, so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, but make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Too often, we feel that the rescue is God's salvation, but then we fail to continue to work toward that end. Which leads me to the next point of rest. it is not simply easy enough or so simple as to live within grace alone. It requires work. And Luke 19:10, Hebrews 13:5, and John 10:28 speak that it is not through salvation, but also work toward Christ's end. Finally, we see rejoicing. The shepherd rejoices in what was lost and is now found. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2:12-18, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The Jews lived with the ideology that the promise was to them alone. But Paul writes here that Christ came to bring those that were afar, the Gentiles, near, and that those, the Jews, near, also close to God, and that we might be one body. And it's that great rejoicing that we speak of in this story, that when the sheep was found, the shepherd rejoiced greater for the one than the 99 that he left behind that may have not grown. Luke chapter 15, verses 24 and 25, we see the same sentiment in the story of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, verses 24 and 25, we read the account of the father on the return of the son. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Friends, this story strikes home because this story is familiar to many of us. This story strikes home because it is my story. I was a sheep lost. And our God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, placed shepherds in my life. Men who took it upon themselves to put me in the Word and teach me. Many of us here tonight have had similar opportunities, or will have opportunities to come, to be like John, to be like Kevin Kelly, to be like Steve Adams. These are the men that sat down with me and studied the Bible, who saw me as a last sheep, as a lost sheep, and felt the need to study with me and show me how truly great our shepherd is. The Lord put people like my best friend Chris McCormick and my beautiful wife Laura in my life. Christians who knew the truth and took it upon themselves to make some decisions that could have been costly to their lifestyle. They could have been led astray with me. They could have wandered down a road of no return. But instead, they stayed their path. They were a great example and led me to Christ. Some of you share my story. some of you have been shepherds. It is my wish tonight that if there are those among our number that need to be rescued, that need a shepherd, know that there are numbers among, there are many among us that are willing to help you study, helping to be an example, helping to be a light in the darkness. If there are those among our number who have been a part of the flock, who know what is right, who knows how wonderful and great the light is, it needs help. Just needs a prayer, a hug, an ear to listen. There are those here that are ready to do exactly that. Notice, in a parting thought, that the shepherd left the 99. It wasn't that he was not concerned for the 90 and the 99. He knew that the 99 would take care of one another while he sought out the one lost sheep. If there are those that need the assistance, if there are those that are ready to obey the gospel, please come forward as we stand and sing.